For our Bible study this evening, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll be looking at the concluding verses, verses 18 through 27. John, chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. And the Scripture says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And if you also will bear witness, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The first verse that we read, verse 18, is very telling. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's Jesus who is speaking. That's a saying that has long been a standard among us as Baptists, is the one that says we are in this world, but we are not of this world. I think probably that grew out of this text of Scripture, where Jesus is talking about his treatment at the hands of sinful men, and what those of us who choose to follow him can expect as far as treatment from our fellow man. He says there that we can expect basically the same thing that he received when he was here. Now, in the earlier parts of this 15th chapter, we've looked at the first 17 verses already. In those verses, Jesus told his disciples about such things as friendship, true friendship. He talked to them about abiding in him. He used the reference to the vine and the branch, and the understanding that the only way that you're going to be successful in a Christian endeavor, in a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, is to truly abide in the person of Jesus. You have to live in the person of Jesus with the knowledge that at your invitation, he lives within you also. He talked to them about joy and tried to get them to understand that their joy is not dependent upon their happenstance. There are things that would bring happiness, but there are things that can destroy that happiness as quickly as it can appear. But he says if we have true joy, if we have the joy of the Lord residing within us, no one, no power can take that away from us. And then he talked about the commandment that he gave, that we are to love one another. And he was very adamant about that, that his disciples learned that it was absolutely essential that they loved one another in such a way that they demonstrated to the world the love of Jesus himself. Hence, those who looked upon those early believers, those early followers of Christ, they would know that they had been with Jesus because of the way that they were able to love one another. Now, in this passage of Scripture we read tonight, the setting is basically that of giving instructions to his disciples in dealing with one another. And he says there again in verse 18, if the world hates you, and when he uses the word world there, what exactly is he talking about? Is he talking about the universe? Is he talking about the globe? Is he talking about the planet? We know that that's not the case. We know that he's talking about the system of humanity that has rejected God and the things of God. We understand that the prince of this world is none other than Satan himself. Satan basically has run of the world of which we're a part. And as a result of that, the world, the system of humanity of which we're a part, basically hates Christianity. And they certainly hate the individual Christian. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced any animosity, any hatred, simply because of your faith. Now, probably at one time or another in your existence as a believer in Jesus, you've probably experienced some ridicule. You've probably experienced some teasing, some being made fun of. Some of you may have truly experienced the hatred of this world. And you say, well, it's not touched me personally. And that may be true. You may be fortunate that it hasn't touched you personally. But in one way or another, the hatred of this world towards Christianity and towards Christian people touches all of us. I find it sad that if you have any sense of goodness, certainly if you have any sense of godliness, it is extremely difficult to watch television anymore. Simply because most of the shows, at some point or another, through the course of their program, there is going to be some kind of attack on the Christian faith and on Christians. Being made fun of. And we're all lumped together in that. The world views Christians as old-fashioned, narrow-minded, cold, unloving. Basically, the world pictures us with an attitude opposite of what we really are and what we really try to project. If you have ever had to take a stand for your Christian faith, if you have ever experienced the hatred of the world, and by the world I'm talking about anybody who's a part of that world system, it may be an employer, it may be a co-worker, it may be a fellow student. If you've ever experienced the animosity and the hatred that comes towards you, can you imagine what Jesus must have experienced? Now, we understand, and sometimes we let it rob us of true feelings. We understand that Jesus is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he probably had what we think in terms of a extra special layer of protection. But that's not true. The Lord Jesus was subject to everything that you and I are subject to as human beings. He experienced all the hatred that the world had to offer. He experienced enough hatred to cover all of us. And he tells us very plainly, he's not sugarcoating anything. If the world hates you, it's because they hated me first. It's because they hate what he stood for, what he proclaimed, even though they were looking for that. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah until the Messiah came and had a different agenda than what they wanted. Okay? Verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. If you act the way of the world, if you go with the grain of the way of the world, you're going to have a fine, wonderful time. They're going to accept you. They're going to include you in the things that they do. It's only when we take a stand for our faith that they begin to reject us and to show the animosity towards us that so many in the world do. If you were of the world, they would accept you. They'd love you. They'd wrap their arms around you and say, you know, you're just part of the party. You're part of the group itself. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Now, what do you mean by that? When we were called by the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God to receive Jesus, and we responded in faith, we accepted, we received Christ into our heart and our life as personal Savior, we were taken out of this world system. We previously were a part of it. We previously did everything that the world did. We perhaps even were like the Apostle Paul, who was guilty of persecuting the church. He tried to destroy it. That may have been the testimony of a lot of people before they came to know Christ. They hated the church. They did everything they could to war against the church. But he says, when you were chosen. And by that he simply means that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. No one comes to the Son except through the wooing of the Father. So the Father woos. The Father uses the Holy Spirit of God to draw us to Himself. And hence when we respond, we are chosen to be a part of the kingdom of God. So He has taken us out of the world. Therefore, because we're no longer a part of it, the world hates us. Now, I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know if you can remember, as I mentioned this morning, a lot of us have been saved so long we have a hard time remembering how we were when we were lost. But I don't know if you can remember what it was like to suddenly come out of that background of being a part of the world and coming into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the world immediately began to turn against you. People who had been your best buddies, that were your closest friends, suddenly didn't want to have anything to do with you. You were not invited to the places you used to go. And if you were invited, you declined. And that just gets in the face of this world. Then we're accused of thinking we're better than they are. And it's a horrible position to be in. And Jesus wants us to understand that. Our salvation is free. It is the free gift of God. But it's very costly. And we need to understand that. Verse 20. Remember the word that I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. In other words, he's saying, don't expect better treatment than the master himself received. If they treated the head honcho, if you will, if they treated him that way, you can't expect any better. The servant is not better than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So when persecution comes, and I doubt that there's a Christian in this room who hasn't to some degree experienced some sort of persecution because of your faith. It may be very minor compared to some of the persecution we read about in Scripture, but I dare say all of us at one time or another have experienced some form of persecution because of our faith. If they persecuted me, they're going to also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So basically he's saying those who are believers are going to receive you. They're going to believe you. They're going to do the things that you deem to be acceptable. If they're of the world, that's not going to be the case. They're going to persecute you instead. Verse 21 says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Not only, and Jesus tells us this early on, not only did they hate him, but by hating him, they demonstrated their hatred for the Father. And the things that they're doing to him, to Jesus. The things that they will do to us, the things that the world does to us, they're doing to heap shame on the Lord Jesus. They're doing it for his sake. They're doing to make him look bad. Okay? Because they didn't know who he was. They didn't believe that he had truly come from the Heavenly Father. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Now that doesn't mean that if Jesus hadn't come, they would be sinless. That is simply saying that if Jesus had not come, they would have an excuse for their behavior. The fact that he did come takes that excuse away and opened for them the door, if you will, to the most severe of sinfulness, and that is rejecting and rebelling against God. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And Jesus said, I did come, and I brought truth. I brought the truth of the Word of God. They rejected it. And because of their rebellion and their rejection, there's no excuse. They'll stand before God one day, and they'll give an account of themselves, only to hear God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. He points that out again very plainly. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. And he's basically saying, he demonstrated. He gave ample proof, if you will, that he was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah, that he was indeed the Son of God. If he had not done that again, they would have an excuse for their behavior. But he's saying, I've done these works that no one else could do. And that was undeniable. Even those who were his accusers couldn't argue with the fact that he had done some mighty and wonderful works that no one else was able to do. But, well, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They've seen, they knew it was from God, and they rejected it. Hence again, they have no excuse. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That is a quote of the Lord from the book of Psalms. And basically, it refers to David. And the logic here is that if David, a mere human being, could have been hated in such a terrible manner by the enemies of God, how much more would wicked men hate and despise Jesus, who was indeed the Son of God and was God himself? But, he says in verse 26, when the Helper comes, when the Holy Spirit is given, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So we have the promise of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to us as a comforter, who will be given to us as a guide, and we can find strength in and through him, and he will testify to the truth and the truthfulness of the Lord Jesus. And you also, as a result, will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. We bear witness in any subject. We bear witness based on what we know. If we don't know anything about a particular something, we're not much of a witness. If we try to be, it's going to be a very negative witness. It's going to do a lot more damage than good. But he's saying we can be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus because we know what we're talking about. We've experienced the person and the power of the Lord Jesus in our life, And as a result, we can bear witness to Him to others, hoping that they might also come to know Him as Savior. All right, that finishes chapter 15. We'll start in chapter 16 week after next. Any questions? Any comments?